This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Looking at your grain futures from yesterday, Wednesday's close off the Board of Trade. Corn headed into the Turkey Day break lower. Soybean traders take money off the table ahead of the holiday, and wheat posted a double-digit loss on Wednesday. First off, looking at your corn futures, they closed the pre-Thanksgiving session with a 5.25 to 5.75 cent loss in the front months. Trading will resume tomorrow morning at 8:30 Central Time. The latest ethanol data for the week ending last Friday showed ethanol production at 28,000 barrels a day, higher than the previous week at 990,000 barrels a day, the largest since before COVID. Stocks also rose 663,000 barrels to 20.833 million, with the Midwest and the Gulf Coast taking up a majority of the buildup. Finished motor gasoline supply product was down 128,000 barrels a day to 8.129 million. That was the lowest since the week of June 12th. That's down 1.075 million from the week before Thanksgiving last year as states implement stay-at-home restrictions. U.S. corn export sales for the week last Thursday are expected to be in a range of 800,000 to 1.4 million metric tons on Friday's report. Rabobank estimates the 2021 Brazilian corn crop at 107.2 million metric ton versus the current USDA projection of 110 million metric ton. Again, your corn futures down 5 to 6 cents yesterday. Soybean futures settled with 7 to 8.25 cent losses in the front months yesterday, Wednesday. The 7.25 cent loss was the largest move lower for January beans since October 28th. Soybean meal was down 30 cents a ton and soybean oil 14 cents higher. The weekly export sales report were pushed back to tomorrow, Friday, is expected to show 700,000 to 1.4 million metric tons of soybean sales for the week ending last Thursday. Bean meal bookings are seen at 100 to 300,000 metric tons, with bean oil in the range of 12 to 50,000 metric tons. According to customs data out of China, 8.688 million metric tons of soybeans were imported during October, up 40% from last year. Of that total, 3.4 was from the United States. That's nearly triple last year, with 4.23 million metric tons originating from Brazil. Brazil's 2020-2021 soybean crop is estimated at 130 million metric tons by Rabobank, which is 3 million metric tons shy of current USDA estimate numbers. Again, soybean futures down 7 to 8 cents yesterday, Wednesday. Your wheat futures took a nosedive into the winter wheat contracts yesterday. Minneapolis was down 7 to 9.75. Nearby Chicago was down 24, with the largest single-day drop since back in August of 2019. Kansas City hard red wheat was down 18 cents. Egypt's Department of Agriculture apparently noticed an issue with an imported tender of wheat with results due Thursday. South Korean importers purchased 80,000 metric tons and Taiwan mills purchased 82,220 metric tons of U.S. wheat yesterday, Wednesday. Friday's delayed export sales report, which would not include those sales, is expected to show 200 to 400,000 metric tons of wheat bookings during the week ending last Thursday, the 19th. That would be an improvement over last year's marketing year low of 192,389 metric tons. Russia's Sov Econ raised their 2021 wheat production estimate by 900,000 metric tons to 85.3 million. They also increased the country's projected export by 1 million to 40.8 million metric tons. Again, wheat posted double-digit losses yesterday, Wednesday. Going over the numbers now and a recap of yesterday's grain markets, corn for December was down by 5.75 at 4.20. March corn down 5 at 4.27.5 at Wednesday's close. May corn closed down 5.5 yesterday at 4.30.25. Beans for January yesterday were down by 7.25 at 11.84. March beans down by 7.5 at 11.85. May beans down 8 at 11.84. Chicago wheat for December down by 23 at 5.88.25. March wheat down by 21, 5.96.5. May wheat down 19, 5.99.75. Oats for December were down by 1.75, 2.85.75. March oats down 3.5 at $3.25. May oats down 4.25 at 3.04.25. Soybean meal December down $1.40 at $3.96.90. January bean meal down $1, $3.95.90. And soybean oil for December up 12 points, 38.18. January bean oil up 14 points, 37.86. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price determined prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical selling on the Board of Trade today weighed on grain prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents lower, 392 to 419. Soy bids are down 7 cents at 1134 to 1172. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents lower at $4 to 421. While soybean bids were down 7 to 10 cents at 1155 to 1191. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are 4 to 6 cents lower at 389 to 440. Soybean bids are mostly 4 to 7 cents lower at 1150 to 1203. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 cents lower at 1186 to 1199. Basis was steady at 2 over to 15 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck base offered at 399.90. The 406.90 a ton, down $1.40 a ton, with basis unchanged at 3 over to 10 over the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents lower, 415 to 444, with basis steady at 500 at 24 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 5 to 8 cents at 416 to 426, with basis mixed at 400 to 6 over the December. Soybeans ended steady to down 7 cents at 1173 to 1181, with basis unchanged up 7 at 1100 to 3 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading tomato placer producer corn bids down 4 to 6 cents, 446 to 447. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 6 to 11 cents, quotations at $12 to 1201. Soft wheat closed down 3 cents at 617 to 618. Milo ended the day 6 cents lower at 480 to 502. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 396 to 430, soybeans at 1134 to 1173. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 411 to 431, soybeans at 1161 to 1193. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 413 to 453, soybeans at 1167 to 1211. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures on this Thanksgiving morning from yesterday, Wednesday, beef cattle were higher ahead of Thanksgiving and hogs were higher also going into the holiday. First off, live cattle futures saw gains of 17 to 35 cents in the nearby contracts yesterday, Wednesday. Feeder cattle futures posted triple-digit gains in the front months with help coming from losses in the grain complex. Tuesday's feeder cattle index was up 18 cents to 137.30. Wholesale box beef prices were higher again in the Wednesday afternoon report. Choice up 76 cents at 245.06. Selects up $1.19 at 220.90. A few cash trades were reported at $111 early on Wednesday, with northern sales of $174 in beef. USDA estimated Wednesday's federally inspected cattle slaughter at 118,000 head for the day, down 1,000 head from a week ago and the same day last year. Week to date is 360,000 head, up 1,000 head from the total through Wednesday of last week. Lean hog futures ended Wednesday with gains of 67 cents to $1.07 in the nearby contracts. December pork cutout futures were $1.07 higher Wednesday. The lean hog index for the 23rd was down 13 cents at 67.70. USDA's national average base hog price was down a half a dollar at 57.39 in the afternoon report. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value is up 77 cents on Wednesday afternoon to 78.35, and the USDA federally inspected hog slaughter for Wednesday was again at 494,000 head. Week-to-date slaughter is at 1.462 million head. That's 24,000 more than last week and 26,000 more than the same week last year. So recapping your higher livestock futures across the board from Thanksgiving Eve. Live cattle for December up 20 cents at 111.37. February live cattle up 22 at 114.17. April live cattle closed on Wednesday up 27 cents, 117.42. Feeder cattle for January up $1.57, 140.17. March feeders up $1.15, 139.27. April feeders up $1.05, 140.40. Finally, lean hogs for December up 87 cents at 66.17. February lean hogs up 92 at 67.67, and April lean hogs up 52 at 70.75. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound park carcass traded 50 cents lower, in a range of 51 to 58.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 57.39. On the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were firm with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $28 to $34, 4 to 5 weight at $32 to $36, 5 to 6 weight at $35 to $39, and over 600 pounds $39 to $41. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels of gilts country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $36 to $42. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $24,522. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 106 to 111. On address basis at 170 to 177. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 108 to 111. And on address basis at 171 to 177. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was stash, with 397 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was 78.35, which is 77 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcass are trading higher. Choice carcass 245.06, which is 76 cents higher, while select carcass 220.90, which is $1.19 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 119,000 last week, 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 494,000 compared to 494,000 last week and 479,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Thanksgiving Thursday morning. Congressional Democrats are planning to seek billions in federal broadband spending next year to boost access in rural areas, affordability, and funding for school computers. House Democrats have already passed, as part of a pandemic relief, $4 billion in emergency aid to help financially strapped families stay online, where President Joe Biden has endorsed universal broadband. Data is key to ending the digital divide for students, farmers, doctors, and consumers. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst, on behalf of the American Farm Bureau, told ag lawmakers this earlier this year.
Farming has changed. We used to think that we just grew corn and soybeans. Now we generate data, trillions of bits, all containing information that can make us more efficient, economical, and can reduce our environmental impact.
Hurst says while most Americans take broadband for granted, more than a quarter of rural Americans lack access compared to only about 2% of urban Americans. And then there's the homework gap described by many lawmakers.
It's students and individuals in their homes that just do not have the connectivity, and that's a huge problem.
You know, you have kids doing their homework in parking lots. That's just not right.
I have kids who I represent, families I represent, school teachers I represent, who cannot access internet at home. Teachers who, when school was still in session, were having to drive to parking lots to be able to conduct the school lessons.
President Trump, back in 2018, signed an executive order to speed federal permitting of rural broadband towers, including on federal land. And the House this year included $24 billion in its HEROES Act to improve broadband mapping, and billions more in subsidies for households, students, schools, and libraries. Senate Republicans proposed their own bill instead, and talks on a compromise broke down. While agency spending bills are still in focus as the government funding deadline approaches December 11th. In other news from Washington, outgoing House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson has concerns regarding President-elect Joe Biden's transition as it relates to agriculture. In a letter to the General Services Administration, the Minnesota Democrat says, quote, "I write to express my concerns about the impacts to farmers, ranchers, and consumers from the lack of a timely presidential transition process. While the delayed transition is now underway, the impacts of the delay persist. Specific issues mentioned by Peterson include the Department of Agriculture's ongoing work with the meat and poultry plants amid the COVID pandemic, along with the risk of African swine fever entering the United States from China. Other issues include outbreaks of high pathogenic avian influenza across Europe and Asia and a shortage of CO2 production impacting meatpacking plants. Peterson states, quote, dedicated civil service staff in the USDA Office of Homeland Security and throughout the department are monitoring these and other crucial situations, but it will take a high-level leadership and the ability to muster funding to address them. Moving on to the latest Chicago Board of Trade news, back in August, the commodity markets began picking up steam out of their COVID-19 doldrums. While prices have risen steadily since then, many in the market are wondering how long this uptake can and will last. Clayton Pope is the president and owner of Pope Commodities in Champaign. Some in the commodities industry are beginning to wonder if the market may be close to running out of reasons to remain a bull market.
We've thrown an awful lot of bullish factors at this market, no doubt about that. And you do kind of wonder if we could be running out of fuel in the short term. But on the other hand, there's still some very live issues out there that could definitely be providing some more fuel. For one thing, I mean, the bearish sentiment when we started this thing off in August was kind of off the charts in terms of what a dismal outlook could look like. People were talking about a 3.3 billion bushel corn carryover and beans of 500 or 600 million, something like that. And then all of a sudden, things started to turn.
Pope says fund buying is one of the reasons for the upturn since August.
It's been an interesting rally just because the funds came in here with both feet and have just propelled this thing nonstop. And it is very unusual, not unprecedented, but it is pretty extraordinary to see a move be as one-sided as this one has been. And as such, it's really caught a lot of shorts off guard, I think.
Many in the commodity markets believe demand is another factor that helped prices rise from their COVID slump.
Everybody keeps referring to this whole thing as a demand-led market. We've got the first demand-led market in a long time. It's interesting to note, though, that if you look at the carryover and the whole balance sheet for soybeans since the August supply and demand compared to the November one, really the only significant change in the demand side was exports, which have gone up by 75 million bushels. Now, 75 million bushels is a lot of bushels, but it's not that many. On the other hand, the supply in that same period from August to November, the supply in soybeans has dropped 346 million. Bushels. So the net of those two is about the 420 million bushel drop in carryover. So it's definitely been a pretty hair-raising drop to see that carryover go from 610 to 190.
He also says calling it a demand-driven market is a misnomer. The thing that's changed the most in the market is supply, not demand. Pope looked at the immediate future of the commodity markets.
Demand obviously is on everybody's mind because China is the unanswerable question for now. We'll just have to wait and see. Certainly the timing of things would suggest that they are on the tail end of their buying program right now. I would think going forward, the biggest question remains supply. And that again looks down to South America, Brazil, Argentina. They've had their problems looking at some planting delays, but let's face it, it's still a little early. Last week, I think two of the main Brazilian consulting firms down there both raised their production estimate for Brazilian soybeans.
Finally, Pope says the impact of South American soybeans on the commodity market is yet to be determined.
The point is that it's not this universal call for some crop disaster in Brazil when an awful lot of the think tanks down there actually think things are looking pretty darn good. So we'll have to see. The devil will be in the details going forward. No question, moisture levels are very dry overall. This is delayed planting for both Brazil and Argentina, but look how many years we've started off dry. I know it's a different type of soil and everything down there, but the real test of this market fundamentally, I think, is quite a bit down the road, a month or two down the road probably.
Again, that was Clayton Pope, the president and owner of Pope Commodities in Champaign. And another news out of Champaign, ag economists at the U of I have been looking through the historical crop insurance data. That data shows that since 1989, farmers in Illinois, and for that matter across the country, overwhelmingly chose to use crop insurance as a risk management tool, according to Illinois Extension ag economist Gary Schnittke.
Crop insurance is extensively used. It's used on over 85% of the acres for corn and soybeans in Illinois. That which is planted is insured. And the single most popular crop insurance product is RP.
RP stands for Revenue Protection and is just one in a series of federal government-backed crop insurance choices that a farmer can make.
What they like about RP is probably two things, the guarantee price increase associated with RP, and they prefer farm-level coverage to any sort of county-level products.
Schnitke also says it'll be interesting to see if farmers choose to include any of the new add-on crop insurance products that are coming out in 2021. And as for the right crop insurance product, he says RP is the right move.
That's a good decision. RP is a very good product. It provides excellent protection, and migrating to that makes perfect sense.
Corn and soybean farmers will make their 2021 growing season crop insurance choices come March. This year, that choice will include the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO. It works like SCO, but is not subject to the ARC and PLC decision. And in another study from the U of I, 91% of 1,000 people surveyed across the country say they are still shopping for their groceries in person. Here's some of the other food-related things people have been up to during the pandemic, according to Brianna Ellison from the University of Illinois.
The other thing they did most often was ordering takeout from a restaurant. So we saw 63.5% of people reported ordering takeout from a restaurant in the last 2 weeks. Things that were less common were eating at a restaurant sitting indoors, eating at a restaurant sitting outdoors, and shopping for groceries online. For each of those, about a third of people reported doing them in the last 2 weeks.
And those last 2 weeks were back in September. Interestingly enough, because the survey was nationwide, a higher proportion of people in the Midwest and the South were far more likely to eat indoors at a restaurant, although that number wasn't very big, according to Ellison.
And then when it came to eating at a restaurant and sitting outdoors, we saw the largest share of people in the Northeast region reporting doing this in the past 2 weeks.
Here are the general takeaways that Ellison pulled away from the survey. First, people are generally following public health guidance, sticking to essential activities like grocery shopping, and limiting non-essential things like going out to eat. However, she says Americans are still supporting the industry by ordering takeout, even if it is at a lower frequency than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News now for your Thanksgiving Day. Randy DeSutter, a farmer from Woodhull, has been elected president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association for the upcoming year at their reorganizational meeting, which was held on Tuesday following the organization's annual meeting. DeSutter has served on the ICGA board for 8 years, most recently as the vice president. He will continue his role as the District 3 director for the duration of his term as president, serving members in Henderson, Henry, Knox, Mercer, Rock Island, and Warren County. Joining DeSutter in the leadership roles are Vice President Marty Moore of Jacksonville, Treasurer Sarah Hastings of Sydney, and Secretary Kate Danner of Aledo. The Exports Committee will be led by Chairman Dave Rylander of Victoria and Vice Chairman Matt Rush of Fairfield. Elected to lead the Industrial Committee were Terry Smith of Clayton and Vice Chairman Keith Sanders of Vandalia. Grassroots Committee leadership for the upcoming year are Chairman Bill Lee of Minock and Vice Chairman Garrett Hawkins of Waterloo. Two directors were re-elected and will continue in their positions as directors. They're Keith Sanders for District 11 and Garrett Hawkins for District 14. Re-elected at-large directors include Kate Danner of Aledo and Dave Rylander of Victoria. Three newly elected directors include Ellen Ron of Mount Carroll, serving corn farmers in District 2, Jason Bunting of Emerson, serving corn farmers in District 5, and Mike Shane of East Peoria, serving corn farmers in District 8. Moving on now to news from the U of I Extension. Andrew Holsinger, horticulture educator serving Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was honored by the U of I Extension for his innovative use of technology to expand programmatic reach. Holsinger received the Excellence in Technology Award in recognition for his video production work, including the addition of closed captioning to video uploads on the Horticulture YouTube channel. He has been instrumental in introducing various technology platforms to the horticulture team during the transition to remote work. Holsinger provides horticulture education for gardeners of all ages and skill levels. He offers expertise in pruning techniques, plant identification, fruit trees, and using technology methods for teaching. Additionally, he is responsible for offering leadership to the training and educational needs of the Master Gardener program in the four-county area. Also in news from the U of I Extension, District 18, Ashley Bell, the environmental and energy stewardship educator that serves Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was recognized for her dedicated and impactful work with the Extension. Bell received the Excellence in Program Evaluation Award from the U of I Extension. That award recognizes overall excellence in ensuring evaluation of Extension programs to primarily determine the impact of the program on participants, as well as determining program improvement. Continuous evaluation of her programs has allowed Bell to develop and deliver high-impact educational programming to accommodate diverse audiences. By tailoring programming needs to local communities, her programs have experienced continual growth over the last 3 years. Bell's program evaluations reveal that through positive changes in the knowledge and behavior of participants, long-term measurable outcomes are being recognized. Bell's current Extension role focuses on the environmental energy stewardship. She has been extremely successful in demonstrating the value of her programs to stakeholders in the area. Her partnership with the CEFS Economic Opportunity Corporation, which works to increase energy efficiency engagement in underserved communities, was recognized as an Ameren Illinois Energy Innovator Award. Ashley works out of the Christian County Extension Office in Taylorville. And now moving on to the latest news from the IDNR, Illinois hunters took home more than 47,000 deer during the first weekend of firearm deer season. After a weekend of pretty nice weather, State Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Rachel Torbert says hunters harvested a preliminary total of 47,147 deer.
Now that's compared with 50,173 from last year. So we're a little lower, but when you look at any number of factors, including weather, the number of crops in the ground, things like that, we're still looking good. And of course, we'll see what the second firearm season brings.
That season runs from December 3rd through the 6th, and there are other deer hunting opportunities in Illinois as well. The archery deer season lasts until January 17th, and muzzleloader-only hunting season will be held December 11th, 12th, and 13th. Illinois counties with the largest harvest over the last weekend included Randolph, Jackson, Fulton, Jefferson, and Hancock County. And that'll conclude Ag News for this Thanksgiving morning, but remember you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. Also, don't forget to check out our new Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. So again, for this Thanksgiving morning, Thursday, November 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.